The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to today's action in the Currits Irish 1000 Guineas Day. That's the feature race this afternoon. We also have the Tattersalls Gold Cup on the card, another Group 1 contest, and plenty of good racing to look forward to in the Curra. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line to look ahead to the action is William Hill Radio's Irish racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
I'm very well, mate. Very well.
Good. Good card in the Curra today.
It is. It's a spectacular day's race. Thought yesterday was brilliant, but today might surpass that. I think some really good stuff. Shame it's been slightly blighted by desperate conditions over there in the Curra. It's obviously changed quite dramatically from yesterday's yielding to now to soft to heavy.
Yes, that's going to have a bit of an effect this afternoon as well. Just before we move on to today's action, the Irish 2000 Guineas took place yesterday. Kingman, a pretty impressive winner. What did you make of the Irish 2000 Guineas?
Oh, just scintillating, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He put that run Newmarket totally behind him. We had concerns, or John Gosden did, didn't he, going into the race at Newmarket. The ground might be a bit too quick for him, and that certainly looked the case yesterday after he travelled and quickened up like he did at Newbury. He just wants cutting the ground, simple as that, and when he does, he's basically unbeatable. The turn of foot he showed was quite electric, and even though Mustard Jeb come up sauntering up to the front of the field as well, he quickly left him for dead, and there was big spaces between first, second, third and fourth as well, so it looked, as they say in the trade, rode like a good race. Totally believable form. And, I think this year's crop of three-year-olds are well above a normal season average. I think the form's going to work out really well, both the Guineas and this race, the Irish 2000.
Okay, yeah, it was an impressive performance, and as soon as he quickened up, the race was put to bed, wasn't it? And any kind of race with soft ground or a bit of cut in the ground, the description is going to be very hard to beat, isn't it? So that was yesterday. Let's look at today, and the first race is the 145, and we start with the Colts and Geldings Maiden over 6 furlongs, and we have an odds-on favourite here in the shape of Dick Whittington, who's 1-2, 6-1 for Rule the Waves. Baroque Poet is 8-1. 10-1 for Sword Fight. Dor Mirage is 20s. Intense Style, 20s as well. And then 33-1, all big up prices, the rest. Can you see past this Aidan O'Brien favourite here, Andy?
It's difficult, really, Mark, to make a crystal clear case for too many others. Obviously, I don't know the strength of quite a few of the Unrace brigade. But what I can say is about Dick Whittington is that he looked a nice horse on his debut, and arguably he should have won that day as well. And given that the winner, Capella Sansevero, bolted up here yesterday at the Curra on soft ground, the form has been given the biggest possible compliment straight away. He just looked the best horse in that race that day at Nace. He travelled quite well in behind the speed, but he just got stuck in on the rail when there was a couple of horses that dropped back in his lap, and I think if Joseph would have had a chance to ride the race again, he might have just obviously got him in a better position. But all is not lost. This looks a very smart colt in the making. I'd imagine after today, suggesting he should win quite comfortably, that he'll go to Royal Ascot. He looks a horse that'll handle the ground as well. The ground's quite soft that day at Nace. Slight bogey is the draw. I mean, he's drawn stall one, and the stalls are on the stand side today. As we know, the stand side is the place to be. Even on the round track yesterday, they were coming up towards the stand rail. So stall one isn't going to be easy to overcome, but he should have enough experience now under his belt just to get out and get across, and with one or two of the Unrace Brigade starting slowly, I don't see it being too much of an issue. So, yeah, Dick Whittington, hard to oppose in the first.
Okay. Onto the second race next. This is the 2:15, and this is the Emirates Equestrian Federation handicap. A big handicap. The worst scheduled to be 27 runners in the race, but several non-runners this morning. Number 18, 22, 25, 3, 20 and 23 all out of the race. At the moment, Great Minds is the 7-2 favourite, 15-2 for Maasai, Shipyard 8-1, 9s for Jihad Jidan, 10-1 for English Deer, and 12-1 or bigger prices. The rest still massively wide open here, Andy. What are your thoughts in the 2:15?
Oh, I absolutely love this race. I've grown quite fond of sort of 6 furlong handicaps over in Ireland. They've been quite kind to the podcasters recently, and I wouldn't say they're easy to work out. I mean, that would be stretching it, but there is like a band of horses that always seem to run well under certain conditions, and particularly here at the Curragh, you get track specialists like you do most tracks, but particularly at this straight, stiff course. And there's two horses here that really do jump out the page. First of all, I'll make a point that I think the win will come from a high stall. So that, I wouldn't say totally rules out Great Minds, but it makes life very, very difficult for him. Drawn in stall one, I think, you know, they're racing two packs, and judged on the evidence yesterday, you definitely want to be up the stand side rather. So it's going to make him, you know, a very, very tricky betting proposition for many people here at 7-2. He's been priced up as if he's been drawn stall 27 here. I'd make him about a 7 or 8-1 chance drawn stall one. So I think he's ranked bad value. I do like the second favourite. I think he's a horse going places called Maasai. But we don't really know how he'll go on the heavy ground. I thought he was a bit unlucky the last day. He's got one or two questions to ask. And there's two that stand out, like I say. They've both got brilliant form at the Curragh, and they've both got a preference for soft or heavy ground. And, more importantly, they're both drawn right against the stand side rail. Number one of those is Shrew Kahan, who's probably the most consistent horse in the last season or so when the ground's soft and he races at his beloved Curragh. He's won here 3 times. He's hardly ever out the first 2 or 3. And he comes here off the back of 4 unbelievably good runs on the figures. First time out, got beat by Great Minds, but that was over 5 furlongs, 81. He then went to Cork over 7 furlongs on heavy ground. He runs to an 80, gets beat by Sun on the run, very well handicapped horse. He then comes back to his beloved Curragh on soft ground. He runs to an 84 when he beats Norville, Tyler, Wonder, and one or two of these that reoppose. He then went to Nace, dropped him back in trip. A, he doesn't like that track. B, he doesn't like good ground. But he still ran to an 85 behind Guerre, who goes to the King's Stand Stakes. Marek was in that race as well. Scream Blue Murder. The form of that race at Nace is absolutely rock solid. So he's got 81, 88, 84, 85, my figures. Basically, if he runs to anywhere that standard, he's just got to be in the frame. He's 12-1 this morning, and I'd make him favourite for this race if I was pricing this race at myself. And the other one is Wexford Opera, 14-1 with William Hill this morning. He's run here 5 times, and on 4 of those runs, he's been in the frame. He's drawn 27. And he loves soft ground as well. He won at Sligo last time out on soft ground. So he also ticks pretty much every box I'm looking at. So I'm going to advise 2 each-way bets here. 1 on Shrew Kahan at 12-1 and 1 on Wexford Opera at 14-1. Surely one of them has to be in the frame at the very least.
OK, then a couple against the field in the 2:15, Shrew Kahan and Wexford Opera. On to the 2:45 next, and this is the Group 3 Early Stud Gallinule Stakes, which is over 1.25 miles, and we have a pretty short price favourite this morning in the shape of Adelaide, who's 11-10. But you can see why Aidan O'Brien targets this race. He's won 8 of the last 10 renewals. Do you think he wins it again, Andy?
Should do, yeah. He's got a very strong hand, hasn't he, Mark? Adelaide and Blue Hussar. Both of them have had a run this season, and both come of them in trials to a degree. Adelaide went to Longchamp, finished second in a Group 2 behind three Paul Lux. He'd have stayed on really powerfully late on, suggested A, he trained on, B, that he stays really well. And that was the evidence we saw of him last year at Leopardstown when he won on his only start as a 2-year-old. And he stayed on very powerfully in the latter stages to get the better physical focus. Back in the field was Fascinating Rock, who, of course, has won the Ballysacks and the Derrystown so far this season. So 11-10 looks about right for Adelaide. His main danger could well be stable companion Blue Hussar, who was very slowly away in the Lingfield Derby trial, but finished to such an effect. He only got beat 4 lengths in the end in the hands of Ryan Moore. I think the extra cut in the ground will suit him today as well. His last victory last year was on a soft surface. So really, if you look at the prices, you'd say that 5-6 to 1 for Blue Hussar could be value here. But yeah, Adelaide is definitely the strongest one of the two, and Joseph O'Brien thinks so as well. So let's go with him.
Okay, Adelaide in that race, and on to the 3:20 next race four on the card, and this is the Tattersalls Gold Cup, which is a Group One over a mile and a quarter, and it's priced up a bit of a match in the betting. Magician and Noble Mission. Do you see it between those two, Andy?
I do. Yeah, no great surprise that the market's come for Noble Mission, and that's pretty much the way I'd play the race myself today under these conditions. It's obviously going to be very testing there today at the Curragh, and Lady Cecil really seems to have turned the corner with this five-year-old. He's always been a little bit of a funny horse to assess in many respects. Always had loads of class, but sometimes his finishing efforts have been a little bit tame. He's always looked as though he's got a bit of a glass chin. But you can't say that now. You've witnessed his last two victories at Sandown and Chester. He made all the running under different tactics at Sandown when he bounced out from the front and got the better of Telescope by 9 lengths. And for any of us that thought that was a fluke, well, we need to think again, really. We need to really reassess this fella, because he got hooked up in a speed duel at Chester when he won on that occasion. And, you know, just when you thought he was going to get beat and he was going to fall back through the pack, he quickened again and he went even further clear. So it was an unbelievably strong front-running effort by Noble Mission, who perhaps in another day would have turned it in quite readily. I'd imagine they'll try and make the running with him again. And like I say, under these conditions today, I think he might just get the better of his main market rival Magician, although he has won here at the Curragh on heavy ground before. That came in a fairly modest maiden, and all his best form in the last year or two has been on a firm surface or a fast surface. Of course, he won the Breeders' Cup race at Santa Anita last year, Breeders' Cup turf race on a fast surface. So he's very much in an unknown zone today with Magician, whereas Noble Mission, you know exactly what his main conditions are. So Noble Mission, a strong vote there in the Tattersalls Gold Cup.
Okay, Noble Mission then in the 3:20. On to the 3:55, the big race of the day. It's the Irish 1,000 Guineas, a Group 1 for fillies over a mile, and Lightning Thunder heads the betting at 4-1, 9-2 for Palace. Tested is 11-2 with votes often, 9-1 for Alpha Kira, Marvellous, and 10-1 or bigger prices the rest. Lightning Thunder, good runner-up in the English version of the 1,000 Guineas. Andy, do you see Lightning Thunder going one better here, or do you fancy something else in the race?
Yeah, it's just a ground, isn't it? I mean, Connections, Ollie Stevens have expressed slight worries or major worries over the conditions today at the Curragh. I think he's actually going to walk the track, isn't he, before racing? So he's not actually committing himself to running his stable star until he's satisfied with the underfoot ground. So no great surprise to see this all drift quite markedly in the betting. I think Dermot Wells got the key to this race myself. He's got two very much informed fillies who have both proven themselves so far this season. One of them's Vote Often, who won at the track early on in the season in a Group 3. Wasn't a particularly strong time, but she did manage to beat the older horses, which is always a real key when you're dealing with an up-and-coming three-year-old filly. Dermot's had a fantastic year with the Fairer Sex, and he's also got tested in the race as well. Now, she's my number one choice, and that's the way Pat Smullen sees it as well. He's also riding this filly by Selkirk, who's had two runs, two wins, one of them on debut at the Curragh in pretty convincing fashion. That was on good ground. She proved that she can handle a bit of cutting the ground by winning at Garran on her next start, on a opening start this season, in a very fast time. Racing just in behind the pace, she showed a really good turn of foot to get the better of Colour Blue, who's won subsequently at Killarney. So the form looks good. Ground could be slightly better for her, you could argue, but it's the same for the rest. She's the top on my figures, and the yard's on fire, so let's go with Tested.
Okay. Tested in the 3:55 onto the 4:30, the sixth race on the card, and this is a handicap over a mile and a half. And the betting is headed by General Brook, who's 5-1, 11-2 for Thomas Edison, 7-1 for Heesabart. Toe on the line is 7-1, and that's been backed from 10-1 this morning, so a bit of money for Toe of the Line. 8-1 for Peak Sue, and 8-1 for Sundara, 9-1 for Mindy. That's been back from 14-1. Chicago 12s with New Ellen, and it's bigger prices the rest. Wide open here, Andy, and a couple of them have been supported in the betting. Toe the Line and Mindy, the two that have really attracted the money. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, I really like a three-year-old in this race. It's quite early in the season for three-year-olds to be taken on the older horses. We're usually looking at sort of June, July onwards when they run against the older handicappers. But Jim Bolger's a different trainer to most on the block, and He's pitching in his three-year-old Sundara here, caught by Galileo, only after only three runs off a mark of 92. Whether that handicap mark is going to be lenient, only time will tell. I actually really like this horse. He won at Leopardstown last time out in a very fast time, the fastest furlong per furlong time on that card. And usually when you get those kind of times, they're usually at the front end of the card when the ground's at the best, not the last race of the day. And this horse went all the way around the inside as well on the slowest part of the track. It was a day when all the horses that were winning were swinging out into the centre of the course and winning from a wide position, like Harley's Harley, who won the handicap over a mile earlier on the card. He came down the middle. You also saw Edge of Sanity win the previous mile and a half handicap on the same card. He also came down the middle. So it was a real big effort by Jim Bulger's three-year-old to win, and win in such a convincing fashion as well. There were plenty of fancied horses in that race that day. Marrakouche, he'd gone there finishing second to Sincal the time before, and he was well put in his place. So Sundara for me, definitely going the right way. I think he's potentially quite useful. And I see him as a real good, solid pattern horse later on in the season. So if he's going to live up to that reputation of me, then hopefully he's got to run well today. So Sundara gets a nap vote in the 4:30.
Right then, Sundara the nap for Andy in that race. The 5:05 is an Arab race, and no strong opinion there. So we'll move on to the 5:40, the last race on the card. And this is a maiden to finish the card over a mile and a quarter. And Table Rock is the 11-8 favourite. 2-1 for Liliani, who's second in the betting. Anas Mirabilis is 4-1, and then 11-1 or bigger price as the rest. So it's priced up as if it's between the top three in the betting there, Andy. Do you see it that way?
I do, yeah. Yeah, I do. I really fancy the Table Rock here. Finished second on three times, and you think, oh, God, you know, what are we doing back in a horse at sort of 6-4, 11-8? That's finished, you know, runner-up on you know, every single start. Is there a hole in him? I just don't think there is. I think he's just been really unlucky. The speed figures tell me that he's been massively unlucky. He run to a good number down in Limerick when he was beaten by Third Dimension. But, of course, Maxoon, who was third in that race, turned him over at Navan the next day. And it was a really big effort by the Prendergast horse that, on that night to beat Table Rock. The pair of them pulled well clear of the rest, but the speed figure was absolutely off the scale. They went a real good gallop that day. Maxoon made the run in, and Table Rock just couldn't get to him. Even though, you know, he tried as hard as he could in the final furlong, so he just couldn't quite reel him back. But I certainly wouldn't hold it against him. Any horse that runs that kind of level, speed figure wise, has got to be, you know, put there on the highest kind of pedestal. He's got the blinkers on for the first time out. They've tried pretty much everything with him: cheek pieces, visor, now the blinkers. But I could, even though he's had the headgear on, I don't think there's any question that this horse tries as hard as he possibly can. The ground's a slight issue, I'd have to argue, but you know, he's gone on soft ground before, and pretty much all the other horses in the race have got the same problem. His stable companion Blackstone was seventh in that Maxoon race of the night, and he ran a blinder down in Cork the other day. So form looks really good. The speed figure's brilliant. So yeah, Table Rock's a really good solid bet in the last.
Okay, Table Rock in the lucky last. And let's just have a bit of a summary, Andy, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections one more time.
Yes, decent looking day punting wise at the current. We'll start off with a favourite in the first, Dick Whittington. Won't be a big price, but he should win quite comfortably. Two against the field in the 2:15. Shrew Kahan gets the number one vote, drawn high with his Curra form, very much there for all to see. And the other one's Wexford Opera, also drawn right next to the standside fence in stall 27. He should go well, two against the field. Adelaide just gets the vote over his stable companion, Blue Hussar, in the 2:45. The Tattersall Gold Cup, on this occasion, on the ground, I'll go with Noble Mission to beat the favourite Magician. Strong opinion that Dermot Well might train the winner in the Irish 1,000 Guineas. Hopefully it'll be tested. In the 4:30 nap of the day is Sundara, caught by Galileo, trained by Jim Bulger, who looks a progressive colt. And in the final race, hopefully Aidan O'Brien, even if he hasn't had such a great day prior to now, will round off the card with a winner in the shape of Table Rock.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Andy. Good luck with your selections in the Curra this afternoon, and enjoy Irish 1000 Guineas Day.
Will do. Cheers, buddy.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.